Welcome, Lund loyalists, YouTubers watching on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective, those watching on X and Instagram and listening on Apple and Spotify. It's John Lund Unleashed and johnlundunleashed.com. Brought to you by Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Right now featuring amazing stem cell technology. For all your pain and for the guys, check out the latest in low T and testosterone therapy to make you feel like yourself again. Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center at riopelcosmetic.com. Now, all juiced up and ready to go. Here's Johnny.
There you go. Blast off after the victory over Memphis last night. After Steph Curry, I said this in postgame last night, after Steph Curry hit a three, was fouled, got a four-point play, middle of the second quarter, 55-35, I wrote my notes, it's over. Yeah, it wasn't over. Makes me a little concerned, but there you go. I told you, wrote a piece, said losing is winning when they lost to the Clippers because I'd rather play the Rockets than the Lakers, and there it is. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy hump day Wednesday. I hope you are great for episode 117. A ton to get to today. Absolute ton. We will review, as you can see on the chalkboard there. If you are new, we go by the chalkboard, and we discuss a lot of different things Bay Area related. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please make sure that you are subscribing. You hit the like button as well. If you could take a second and do that right now, because then the algorithm likes us and says, oh, okay, people like the content, and it grows the show. Bay Area Sports Collective. Make sure you're subscribed over there as well, because not only is my show and all the shows are going today. So my show right now, of course, John Lund Unleashed, Polymac and Polymac Particles at 11 o'clock, and Tom Tolbert this afternoon as well. And you'll want to tune in to Tommy because he actually played the game and he'll give you a full breakdown. And he was at Chase last night, so he'll give you a full breakdown this afternoon. So make sure that you tune in. Plus, there's a new show on the horizon that I'm not even sure that I'm supposed to tell you about, but it's coming. I know that. Thanks for watching on Instagram. Thanks for watching on X at John Lund Radio. All sorts of places you can watch. LinkedIn, I'm even on Facebook, my personal page, or John Lund Unleashed. So make sure that you go to one of those places. You probably are in one of those places. So thank you very much. Please migrate over to the YouTube channel. Give it a like, give it a follow. And keep those alerts on. Like I said, we send out stuff constantly. So you want to make sure that you're in know, whether it's breaking news, Bay Area sports stuff, caboose pistol-ish items, things that are coming up on the show, any of those kind of things. Just go to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, and you will make sure that you are in the know on everything. Episode 117, the Warriors are officially the 7th seed. They beat Memphis 121-116 thanks to play-in, soon-to-be play-off, Jimmy. If Ja Morant is not hurt in the third when the Warriors were up 82-81, what would this game have looked like? Doesn't matter. As I told you, Steph Curry gets the four-point play, 55-35. I think it's over. It is not over. No JK, but that's no surprise. Will he play in the Rockets series? That thing starts on Sunday. Plenty of rest. No complaints about rest for the Warriors. I'm not buying any of that. 106-96, they lost on April 6th, but they got a free look. We'll get into that. The Giants have a Justin Verlander issue. Draft visits, whether they mean something or not. There's a couple of final ones. Today is the final day. We'll tell you two guys that are here in Santa Clara, I should say, with the 49ers. There was a thing that went viral yesterday, and I think a lot of people missed the point at a national level, and you know because you watch the show every single day, which is much appreciated. I took a shot, not at Peter Schreger, but at ESPN. And certainly it's his first day at ESPN, so I'm not taking a shot at him. Congratulations to him for the new gig. But as I said, I worked for ESPN for many years, and they ESPN-ize you. And I saw something he did yesterday, put it out there. He responded, as did others who missed the point. It wasn't about his list. It was about what it represents, and I hope they don't do that too inside the NBA. So I will explain that. Sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistols, an all-timer today. You cannot miss that to end the show. And if you're new around here, random stuff just happens. The comparison I give it to is you're making a long road trip. You get off the off ramp, you come back on. Those are the kind of things we do. We make it quick, short, and stay to the point. Good morning to everybody. And by the way, lots of great people in the postgame show last night. We will do postgame shows for all Warriors playoff games. So Sunday night. So we'll be doing 7 days a week. So 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. usually. We're going to cut it down a little bit, the show itself, not because it's a bit, you know, not because we're mailing anything in or anything, but I had a big meeting with the YouTube smart people at YouTube and said, this is exactly the amount of time you should be going and this and that. It becomes diminishing returns. So anyway, we're tightening things up a little bit, but Monday through Friday, we start at 8 a.m. Saturdays, we start at 10 a.m. And now Sunday, because the Warriors have that, we're going to do the postgame show on Sunday night. So we're going till whenever. And when the Warriors are on, please make sure right after the final whistle that you're right here at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. And we'll make those YouTube exclusive shows. So those won't be on X, where I am right now, at John Lund Radio. They won't be on Instagram. They won't be on any other platform but YouTube, John Lund Unleashed, and the Bay Area Sports Collective. So for post-game shows, this is where you have to be on YouTube, at John Lund Unleashed. All right, good morning to everybody. Hurley Bird is here this morning. Todd, thank you. Todd made the post-game show very fun last night. We did get after it a little bit. I even broke out a bottle of whiskey that was like a special occasion whiskey. But when you get into the playoffs and you're the Warriors and you finally win a play-in game, that is amazing. I chugged beer last night. No, I'm not chugging beer at 8 in the morning. I cannot do that. I have to be a productive member of society. I did last night, though, and it by you. It was very nice. John Harder, it is good to see you. Joy, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, Skills. Good morning to see you. Bet Houston, wish they still had a Lashawn Harden. Bet they had, wish they had a Harden, that's for sure. But we'll get into that whole thing with or without James Harden. They have been a team that hasn't been able to beat the Warriors, and I'm sure their fans remember it. So it's going to be loud and proud on Sunday. Baba Booey, good to see you, my friend Pine Needle. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How do I pronounce this name? That might be a new one for me, but beautiful. I'll just call you Catalina. Hello, Catalina. I don't want to screw up your name. Ernesto Ron, it is great to see you this morning. Who else we have? Nathan is here this morning. Christian, good morning to you, my friend. Jake, it is always great to see you, my friend. Hello, Mark. now you're asking other people to chug beers. I love it. Very, very cool. I'll get to everybody who's in the chat. We got a big chat room today. So good morning, good morning, good morning to everybody. Hello, Dom. Hello, Scott. Great to see everybody this morning. Kenneth, good morning, good morning. We had a great time. I see a lot of names that I saw in the post game last night. So very cool. Thank you for attending the show. And thank you, because you got lots of choices, especially on YouTube. So thanks for making John Lund Unleashed a show that is in your rotation. So much appreciated. All I ask is a like, make sure those alerts on, and tell a friend. Be a friend, tell a friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, let's get to the Warriors last night. A little more difficult than maybe we had anticipated. I wrote at johnlundunleashed.com. And if you want all things Unleashed, just go to johnlundunleashed.com. Archives of the show, podcasts, blogs, written stuff, social links, johnlundunleashed.com. A little more difficult than I thought. The Memphis gets out to an 11-2 lead. The Warriors blow them out the rest of the first quarter. As I said, Steph with about 6 minutes left. I could check my notes on my phone, but I'm too lazy to do it. Steph with about 6+ minutes left. I think it was 6:35 left in the second quarter. Just unbelievable movement. And he gets the corner three, gets fouled. It's 55-35 at that point. And this is where I would have, this is where the Warriors used to do this, and they need to get it back somehow, and they have the players to do it. At 55-35, about midway through the second quarter, and Steph hits that, and the place is going bonkers. It's going bananas. And at that point, with a Memphis team that is down, loses, fires their coach, they got all this stuff going on. They got many, 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 many reasons to quit at that point, because, you know, they got another game. And they're going to play the 9-10 winner to try to get into the 8 to play Oklahoma City in the first round. So you're thinking to yourself, if they just put their foot on their neck right now, this game's over. And what happens? Memphis goes on a 7-0 run. They stay in the game. They, I'm not going to say dominate the rest of the half, but they pull within 12 at the half. And then the rest of the way, going into the second half, it's a close basketball game. And the Warriors have to pull it out at the end. Play-in Jimmy makes an appearance. Fourth quarter, Steph Curry makes an appearance. And those two guys, basically, they got help in the first quarter and a little bit in the first half. Gary Payton Jr., GP2 played really, really good, really, really well. And they got Quentin Post hit a few threes early. They got a little contributions there, not a lot from anybody else. I'll pop the box score up in just a second, but Brandon Podziemski, as I said, is a major key to how far the Warriors go. He wasn't very good last night. Moses Moody has got to hit open shots. He wasn't very good last night. They're going to give Draymond Green the three. Even if he hits it, they're going to dictate how they got beat. He wasn't hitting shots last night. So it came down to Jimmy's 38, Steph's 37, Steph in the fourth quarter. They pull out a game in which at 55-35, if they just are relentless and ruthless at home and put their foot not so gently on Memphis's neck, and they go on the 7-0 run instead of Memphis going on the 7-0 run, the game is over, and they even get more rest. So if I've got a criticism, that's great that Jimmy was Jimmy, and it was great that Steph was Steph, and it's great that they get the win,
But moving forward, they're going to have to be better than that. And they didn't turn the ball over a ton, and they played really well. But if Ja Morant at 82, 81 doesn't turn the ankle or doesn't step on Buddy Hield's foot, and that was the best thing Buddy Hield did all night long because he didn't do anything else. He provided a foot to be stepped on by Ja Morant, who then turned his ankle and just wasn't the same player when he did return. Desmond Bane tried to carry the Grizzlies, but it just wasn't enough. He was really good last night. So the Grizzlies go to the 9-10 winner. The Warriors move on to the Rockets. So give me your thoughts about that. Let's look at the box score, and then we'll hear from Jimmy Butler and Steve Kerr in just a second. Let me share the screen with you really quickly here and show you I'm going to show you the box from 106-96 in just a second from the game they played last time and what we can glean from those kind of things. But here's the box last night between the Warriors and the Grizz. And the box never tells everything, but 121-116, as you can see right there. Steph Curry, 9-22, 6-13, 13-13 from the free throw line. Some of those were late to seal the game. Jimmy was Jimmy. Uncharacteristically going 12-18 from the free throw line, but he got there. Between Steph and Jimmy Butler, 25 makes from the free throw line. And I cannot emphasize enough how important that's going to be in the playoffs. When the place is going bonkers in Houston because they remember the James Harden days and Chris Paul, and they hate the Warriors just as much, even though it's a different version of the Rockets. When that place is rocking and rolling, the Toyota Center, and the Rockets are going on a 10-0 run, which they'll do, and they're on the verge of blowing the Warriors out of one of these games, Jimmy Butler will get the ball down low or do what he did last night, which was absolutely brilliant, get the ball at the three-point line, drive to the rim. Nobody could get in his way, and when they did, they fouled him, and that's how, especially early in the game in the first half, he got to the free throw line so many times. So it just settles everything down. It gives them a chance to breathe. He gets to the free throw line, gets a couple of easy points. Everybody relaxes for a second. The crowd quiets down. There's just so many reasons why you can get the defense set on the other end. There are so many reasons why it's big what Jimmy Butler does, because shots just don't always go down. Brad Bojemski, 1-7, 1-5. So you can look at that and see that. Now you can see also the playoff rotation, which was big. GP2, who gave him some great first half minutes, and Quentin Post, who gave him some great first half minutes, those guys are probably going to be in the rotation. I don't understand any fascination with Buddy Hield. If he's not shooting, it's a heat check. Is Buddy on tonight or not? If he's not, he's out because he gives you nothing else. Kevon Looney is going to be playing in this series against Houston because of Şengün. Guy Santos, and I'm going to explain Guy Santos' role versus JK in just a second, but Santos gave him some minutes. And what Santos is, and I'll just pop this off the board real quick. Let me explain why Santos plays over Jonathan Kuminga. Let's liken it to there's a job opening, right? There's a job opening. And the job opening is, I don't know, I don't want to disrespect Guy Santos, but the job opening for the Warriors really right now is they've got a post, right? And it's a posting of a job opening. And JK is going for it, and Guy Santos is going for it. Is Jonathan Kuminga the better player? Yes, he is. Is Jonathan Kuminga more skilled? Yes, he is. Does Jonathan Kuminga have a higher ceiling and more potential? That's a bad word in sports. People think it's a good word, but potential is not a good word. Yes, he's got more potential. But the job that is open is dirty work. Who's better at dirty work? Who's better at energy? Who's better at getting on the floor? Who's better at getting a loose ball? Who does the dirty work? You need that on a team. Guy Santos does. And that's the job that is open. So the job description is garbage man. Like, there's a garbage man job open. There's a dirty work job that's open. Is Jonathan Kuminga that? No, he's not. You know how you apply for jobs and somebody might look at you and say, you're overqualified for this job. Jonathan Kuminga is overqualified to be the dirty work guy. And Guy Santos is that guy. So if you were drafting players or if you were putting together a team, you would take Jonathan Kuminga in a vacuum, you would take Jonathan Kuminga over Guy Santos 10 out of 10 times. But the job description that is open for the Warriors is dirty work guy. And dirty work guy, which is the role that is open right now in the rotation, is better served by Guy Santos. That's the deal. I don't know if Jonathan Kuminga is going to play in the playoffs. I don't. Now, what happens in the playoffs sometimes is you get desperate. You get down in a game, the matchups aren't working. And what numbers do is, and that's why they're so... people stick by him so much in baseball because there's 162 games. And the point of that, of all the analytics in baseball, is at some point over that long period of time, the numbers will come to the mean and will come to the average, and that therefore you stay with what you do, because over that long period of time, they're going to go to the average. That's the thought process, whether it's right or wrong, whatever. But that's the thought process with analytics in baseball. And the same thing with basketball. Analytics over 82 games. If we stick to this, this is what will happen over a long period of time. Football analytics aren't as big because there's only 17, soon to be 18 games, and the ball bounces weird, and you're not as beholden to those kind of things. And so what happens in a short series, 7-game series with Houston, is all of a sudden now, if certain things aren't working, and I know the numbers say that Jonathan Kuminga does not play well with Jimmy Butler. They're redundant to a certain extent. He does not play well with Draymond Green, and it makes a lot of sense because you have three, I'm not going to say non-shooters, because they can hit threes occasionally, but a defense is going to give those guys the shot. And if Podziemski and Curry are on the floor with those guys, you have two of your five shooters who are a true shooting threat from distance. And this, in the NBA nowadays, that's not going to do it. So logically, it doesn't make sense to have JK on the floor with those guys. And from a numbers standpoint, it doesn't add up. Now, having said that, like I said, it's a long period of time is why analytics work in basketball and baseball specifically. But in a short series and you need a spark, Steve Kerr is going to look down his bench at some point in this series. I guarantee you, even if Jonathan Kuminga is not in the rotation, which I don't know that he's going to be. I don't think he's going to be. And he's going to look down the bench and say, we need a spark. The numbers say that Kuminga doesn't play well with these guys, but we got to see what he's got. And that's what the playoffs are all about. And then if you give the team a spark, Steve Kerr is going to come into the post-game press conference and say, you know what, we're going to get Kuminga some more minutes. That's how it's going to work. That's the only way that he's going to get into the rotation, is that they're down 15, and he looks down and says, I got to give Kuminga a shot and see if he's got a spark for us. Or somebody's going to get in foul trouble early. Butler gets in early foul trouble, whatever the case may be, and maybe he gives him a spark that way. That's the only way he's going to be in the rotation. If everything is the way it is, like it was in game 82, like it was in the play-in game, Kuminga probably doesn't have a role, although logically you would tell yourself, wait a minute, Houston's really athletic. Jalen Green is athletic. Amen Thompson is athletic. There's got to be a role for this guy in this series. And maybe there is. I don't see it. It would make logical sense. It's unfortunate because Kuminga got hurt and then the Warriors were rolling and they couldn't slow down the train and say, okay, let's find where your niche is going to be. And that probably for me is going to lead to, or for the Warriors, is going to lead to Kuminga asking for a trade after the season, which coincides with him wanting a big contract. And I just don't see the Warriors giving it to him at this point. I also see the Warriors falling short, well short of a championship. I don't think they're going to win the Western Conference. And so what that's going to do is it's going to put more pressure on the front office and on Joe Lacob and on Mike Dunleavy Jr. to say, okay, let's our best asset that we're not really utilizing and we don't want to give a long-term big contract to is Jonathan Kuminga. So let's use him to find that piece. And they're not going to get equal value. I think they're going to get a stretch big out of it, you know, a Bobby Portis type, I don't know, where you go, God, that's not really worth it, but it's going to fit better for this team trying to win a championship. So there's my tangent on Jonathan Kuminga. He wasn't a factor last night, and I don't know that he's going to be a factor in the Houston series unless they're desperate, unless someone's in foul trouble, and then he gives them a big-time spark off the bench, and then Steve Kerr of the game says, we're going to have to use this guy. So that's his only way, because if things go by like they did in game 82 and like the play-in game, Kuminga doesn't have a role. So that's where we are. Episode 117, 7 seed is what the Warriors are. Golden State 121, Memphis 116. Play-in Jimmy. Will he be playoff Jimmy? Yes, he will be playoff Jimmy, because we just saw what Jimmy does. He just changes. I mean, he doesn't go Clark Kent to Superman. That's too dramatic because he's a good player anyway. But last night, getting to the free throw line 18 times, he just read the game. He's like, okay, this is what we need to do. This is what I need to do. I need to keep getting to the basket. The other side of me says they struggled with Memphis. Will they beat Houston? I think they're going to beat Houston. We'll get more into that in just a second. Here's Jimmy Butler post-game last night talking about what worked for him.
It's always play basketball the right way, shoot the ball when you're open, attack, get into the paint, get to the free throw line, and pass it over the guy. So no matter who's guarding me, I'm always going to put it.
Did you figure that scheme, though, would lead to, you know, you getting to the rim a lot and, you know, scoring as much as you did?
Yes and no. I feel like I have the opportunity here to pick my spots incredibly well, and they're always looking to get me the ball in my spots where I can be aggressive and put the ball in the basket or make the right play for the next individual. So we made a couple sets for me to do that, and then Steph did all the other stuff.
How did you decide, you know, early you took a couple of those threes when they were way off, and then you kind of just started going to the rim regardless. Like, how do you decide when to keep shooting the threes or when to just kind of power through?
I mean, I can shoot. I just choose not to shoot threes. I'd rather drive into the...
I think he brings up a great point right there. He's not a great three-point shooter. We all know that, and I'm not breaking any news here. He just said, I just choose not to. What he's really good at, you determine what you're really good at. What he's really good at is drawing fouls. What he's really good at is the mid-range game. That's what Jimmy is, and that's what the Warriors need. That's the fit. You know, you look at your roster, and everybody wants superstars, and everybody wants an Olympic team, and everybody wants fantasy, but it's about fit. And the thing that Jimmy Butler did and why they have such a gaudy record since he arrived is he's an inside guy, and they've got outside guys. They've got Steph Curry standing out on the perimeter. They've got all these kind of things. So to even things out and to spread the floor a little bit, all of a sudden you got Jimmy Butler inside, and we saw it last night. He only hit 12 of 18 free throws. That's unusual for Jimmy. But it puts the other team in a bind where it's like, uh-oh, what do we got here? Now, Houston's going to be tough in the regards of they have length. They have athleticism. They've got it across the board. And they, you know, on paper, a lot of people are like, well, they're the two seed. They're going to win. What's interesting here is, let me start popping some stuff up from this standpoint. Saw this morning. The Warriors are actually the favorites. And look, Vegas is about money. And everybody can talk their trash and say this and say that and scream this and scream that. But when it comes to money, that's the bottom line. They're almost 2-1 favorites over the Rockets. So in Vegas, as my dad always used to tell me, is not built on losers. That the type of hotels and all the things that they have in Vegas, it's not because we all went there and won. We might have won for a second. I've won early in the process in Vegas, and by the end, I'm losing a bunch of money. And the money that I had stashed away, I'm going up to the hotel room to get it after too many drinks. That's just kind of how it works. But the Warriors are the favorite in the series, which I think is really interesting. By the way, here's the schedule of the series so that you can plan your life around it. 420, ironically enough, they can't lose on 420, can they? They're taking on Houston. Of course, it's Eastern time because they forget we exist with East Coast bias. So 6:30 on Sunday is where you got to make your plans. Then this is what's great is they're so tired. Oh, they're a veteran team. They don't play till Wednesday. So Sunday, the first round is so elongated. Look at this. Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Monday for the first four games. So they got plenty of time to rest between games. They play four games in 8 days. So it's every other day kind of a situation. So TNT 6:30 on Sunday, TNT 6:30 on Wednesday. Saturday then, sorry, you got to tell your significant other, 5:30 on ABC on Saturday back here in San Francisco. And then game four, 7 o'clock on TNT on the 28th, and then from there we'll see what is needed. But plenty of rest between games, so Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Monday is what the schedule looks like, and the Warriors are the favorite. Here's Jimmy Butler talking about last time, April 6th, Houston won 106-96. What does Jimmy Butler remember about that game?
One of your guys' collective worst games in this stretch. What do you kind of remember from that game? What didn't work?
Turnovers. Turn the ball over a lot. Can't wait on her. They get so many more possessions than we do. We take care of the ball, and we'll be in a good spot.
That's the Warriors in a nutshell for years and 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 years. Don't beat yourself. If the Warriors don't beat themselves, they're a pretty damn good team, but a lot of times they do. Let me pop that box score up from, this is from April 6th, and just along the lines of his point, I know that Curry's box in and of itself jumps out to everybody, and I understand that. But if you look right here, let's see, go down to the Warriors right here, 20 turnovers. They beat themselves. I mean, that's just what it came down to, is they beat themselves. They had 20 turnovers on the night. Now, Steph Curry was defended, and I'm going to go into this whole thing that I've talked about. They gave the Warriors a free look. Steph Curry, his worst career game when playing 30-plus minutes, and includes regular season, playoffs, 30-plus minutes for Steph Curry, worst performance ever at 1-for-10, 1-for-8, and 3 points. I'm just going to say maybe he's going to be a little bit motivated. They only lost by 10 at home, and you look combined, Jimmy Butler had 13 and Steph Curry had 3. I'm going to go out on a massive limb here and say they're going to combine for more than 16 points in every game of this series. Jimmy went to the free throw line just 4 times in 33 minutes. Steph Curry did not go to the free throw line in his 33 minutes and was absolutely miserable. There's just nothing about it. Now, Brandon Podziemski's got to have a game like that, I think, in the series. Went 7 of 14, 4 of 9 for 19 points. He's got to be a complimentary piece. Jonathan Kuminga played in the game for 19 minutes, so maybe there is a role for him. I see Looney having a role because of Şengün. You're going to need a veteran in there to deal with that. I do think Post is going to have a role in this series because I think pulling him out and, you know, he only played 7 minutes in this game, but having a stretch on there is a big deal. Buddy Hield was good buddy that night, 7 of 14, 6 of 11. Again, he's a heat check guy for me. Uncharacteristically, Gary Payton, look at GP2, 7 of 14, 2 of 5. I don't expect him to get 16 points. My point is that between the 20 turnovers and the way that Butler and Curry played, and they only lost by 10, I think that's just, as I've been talking about, that's what, they got a free look, essentially, because if you look at the record, 52 and 27, they were going to be the 2 seed regardless. I'm kind of surprised that they did what they did. So they went balls out. They went all out against the Warriors to win this game and, I don't know, send some kind of a message, which is vastly overrated in sports. So they went all out. And I think that free look that the Warriors got of how aggressive they were against Steph Curry on the night, and it worked, and congratulations to them, but now it's a different series. And I think the Warriors will figure out the Rockets. I said that before the series even started. I said that yesterday when I thought that the Warriors would beat Memphis, although it was a bit of a nail biter. They did. I did write the piece at johnlundunleashed.com that I would rather play the Rockets in the first round than the Lakers. And so they played an extra game. And all this talk about rest, they don't play till Sunday. So what's going to happen is they're going to rest today, come in for treatment. On Thursday, they'll come in and they'll start implementing the game plan. They'll do more on the court on Friday. They'll probably fly out late Friday, have a practice on Friday here, fly out to Houston late Friday, have a shoot around at the Toyota Center on Saturday, and then the game is Sunday. And so they're going to have plenty of rest. Rest is not going to be an issue. Being tired, fatigued, I hate those questions. When I hear them, I want to puke, because I've been covering the league for so long that if you asked anybody, and I've said this many times, old school wise, Jerry Sloan, when I covered the Utah Jazz and was doing the beat there, whatever the case may be, they literally walk from the podium and smack you. I mean, it is what it is. It's the playoffs. Nobody cares if you're tired. So there's no excuse in this series about tired, because they're going to get off from today to Sunday. It's not that bad of a flight to Houston. So from today to Sunday, they have off. And then, as I just pointed out, they're going to play 4 games in 8 days. There's no issue from Sunday to Wednesday is their rest between game one and game two. So there should be no excuse whatsoever of any kind of fatigue for the Warriors. And I do expect them. And look, there's going to be a ton of energy in that building in game number one at Toyota Center. Those fans, even though it's a totally different crew of guys from Jalen Green and Şengün and Amen Thompson and Fred VanVleet and that crew versus what Harden and Clint Capella and those guys used to be, but that it's not different to the fans. They see the Warriors colors, and they're going to hate the Warriors, and it's going to be loud, and that game one is going to be really interesting. But to me, and this is what I said about Oklahoma City, it's what I say about Houston. Even though Houston has some more veterans that have played in playoffs, and Fred VanVleet has won a championship at the Warriors' expense, although thank you, basketball gods, for the injuries to Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. But nonetheless, the ring is the ring, and Fred VanVleet got it. So you do have a guy like that on this team, but by and large, this is a really young team who has not done it. Their main components have not done it, have not even played in playoff games. And Dylan Brooks is their version of Draymond Green in terms of being a hothead, and he's good for at least a couple of technicals. And while he's trying to get the Warriors out of their game, and that's one thing that I know Steve Kerr is going to remind Draymond Green, even though he doesn't need reminding, that's Dylan Brooks' number one goal is to get Draymond Green out of his game, to get technical fouls, to make him lose it. That's what teams do. They put it on the chalkboard. They put it as far as the bullet points, and that will be Dylan Brooks' number one job. And the one thing I'll say about Draymond Green is, even though he didn't agree with the last two fouls that he committed, and he did commit them, and the one at the end was really stupid on an inbounds play, and they just can't have him do that and foul out of games that are that critical, even at that late juncture of the game. He walked away from the official. He did remark one time, and in the playoffs, they generally give you a little bit more than they would normally give you, but they kept him away from the official, and he behaved himself for the most part and has done that and has said to us in the past that he can do that. And so as long as he's not removed from games and doesn't remove himself from games and doesn't get out of his game and realize what Dylan Brooks is all up to, then he should be completely fine. So I think they're going to win it. I think they're going to win it in six games. I think that experience will be the key. I think that Jimmy Butler drawing fouls, those kind of things. Now, will the playoff whistles be different? We'll see. But the mid-range game for Jimmy Butler works regardless. And I thought what he did last night was brilliant. It wasn't like they dumped the ball into him in the post and that's where he got the ball. He was getting the ball outside of the three-point line. They were giving him room because they're like, go ahead and shoot it from out there, Jimmy. And Jimmy was saying, okay. He was just eating up the space. And if he didn't score in the mid-range, then he was just getting the free throw line. It was brilliant. It was brilliant execution on his part. He was absolutely great, especially in the first half. And then Steph took over in the fourth quarter. So give me your thoughts on that. Here is Steve Kerr after the game. He downplayed it, said, hey, because that's just what a coach has to do. Hey, if we lose this game, we're still fine. But after the game, he admitted, and we all know this because it's lying season 24-7, 365 in sports. We all know this, but Steve Kerr reiterated what we already knew, which is last night's game was a critical win.
It was for about 3 weeks. You know, I tried to downplay it a little bit before the game, but we desperately needed to win this game and get 4 days. Our guys have been basically playing knockout games for about 3 weeks and one high-level game after another. And so to get this one, took 83 games, but we're right where we want to be, which is, you know, back in the playoffs, and we've got a chance. But maybe most importantly, we get the time to rest and prepare because these guys need that.
All right, so there you go. There's Steve Kerr, and he's saying what we're saying, which is it's a good scenario for them. Would they have liked to have been higher up in the standings? Yes. Were they going to be up there as high as, you know, after the loss? No, they weren't. But they're in the playoffs. They had been 0-3 in the play-in game, so beggars can't be choosers. You get the Rockets, and I'm okay with that. And I think they're going to win the game, win the series in six. So that's where you are for episode 117, 7 seed. Golden State 121, Memphis 116. Play-in Jimmy, Morant hurt in the third, 82-81. Would it have been different? Maybe. No JK, and I don't expect him to be in the series. I told you how it could happen if they're desperate or if there's foul trouble, and then he really shines and has the right attitude, and I don't know if he will. I think maybe he's half checked out because he knows in the offseason he's asking for a trade. I'm sure he's already talked to his agent about it. The Rockets on Sunday, I gave you the schedule. We look back at the 106-96 loss on April 6th, which I actually think is a good thing because they got a free look at the Rockets, who for some reason went balls out to beat the Warriors, even though they were going to be the number two seed anyway. That's the story on the Warriors. Let's flip over to the Giants. Let me real quick look up the chat line and make sure that we don't have any remnants left from the Warriors game. And then I'm going to get a little bit into the Giants who lost yesterday to the Phillies, which I'm not overly worried about that whole thing, but I want to get into it in just a second because I think there is a Verlander issue. So stay right there and let's get into that. You said you figured out what all of us are all about. Can you elaborate on that? And can your wife say fresh pot and call your son? We love you long time. What did I say last night? We figured what we were all about. I don't remember that. And believe me, I had, like I said, I had beers here because I knew you would ask me to chug, and you did, my good friend Todd. You and Nathan were all over it. It was awesome last night. You guys made the show last night. It was a lot of fun. Figured out what we're all about. I don't remember saying that. And like I said, I chugged two beers because I was asked, and then I brought out my really good whiskey. I feel great today, by the way. I'm going to go to the gym and burn everything out, but I don't remember. I'm sorry. You said you figured out what all of us are all about. Can you elaborate on that? I don't know. I'm at a loss on that one. Can you have your wife say fresh pot? I don't think she's here right now, but I'll make sure that we do that. And my son is on fire right now. I don't want to go into this whole tangent about it because I think most people don't care. But he's writing a ton. He's the beat writer for AFU football. He's doing an awesome job. And with this whole thing with the transfer portal and stuff, he wrote a really long piece. I was like, I had no idea you had depth like that. I was very impressed. Very impressed. Skill said Rod Beck has more talent than Dylan Brooks. And if your wife can yell fresh pot, my life will be complete. All right. I'll see if my wife is here. Polly's coming on at 11 o'clock speaking of fresh pot, but let me just see if she's around. Because I mean, you're asking for it and you're giving super. So I feel very compelled. So what do you want her to do? Just come in here and yell fresh pot, like off mic kind of a thing? Is that what you're looking for? Because I'll have her do that. You know, there goes a voicemail. What is that about? All of a sudden a voicemail plays. I got to be careful what I do around here. Hang on one second. Hang on. Because I got to get moving here. I think that's what you're asking for, right? Hang on a sec. I don't think she's here. I think she's running errands already and taking kids to school. Yeah, I just reached her voicemail. I think she's on a call. She works for a living. I just scroll around. All right, I'll see what I can do. Because you're look, man, I'm I when supers happen, I got to make things happen. So that's the whole deal for that whole thing. So Todd, you're the man. So let me see what I can do. I'll work on it. And if I can't get it done today, I'll make sure that I get it done. Period. That's the deal. All right, let's get on to Justin Verlander. Let me pop up the box score from last night for the Giants, because there is a Justin Verlander issue, and this is kind of worst case scenario. Look, Bob Melvin is a veteran manager. I'm not telling you anything you don't know in that regard. So he's going to give Justin Verlander all the rope he can. But 6-4, the Giants lose to the Phillies. That happens. The Giants are a quality baseball team. They're 10-7. The Giants are still fine. Thank you very much. At 12-5, they didn't get many runners in scoring position. They did go 2-7. It was nice to see Casey Schmidt, who made another nice defensive play at first base. Plus, he had a big hit last night and a couple of RBIs. So as Lamont Wade Jr. continues to struggle, if Casey Schmidt can show anything with a bat, he's clearly a better defensive player. I said this yesterday, I said they need to give him a couple of days off and just chill out a little bit. So that's maybe what they're going to do. But yeah, look, you're going to lose certain games. No big deal. Jung-Hoo Lee was Jung-Hoo Lee again last night. He got a couple of hits. So offensively, you know, four runs is kind of the magic number, especially at home for the Giants. But here's my major issue. I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to click up some more stuff on Justin Verlander. But Verlander, uncharacteristically, Hayden Birdsong, he gives up a couple of runs. That's just not what the bullpen does. So there's Justin Verlander right there, 5 2/3, 8 hits, 4 earned. Only struck out 1, gave up a home run. His ERA sits now at a tidy, not so tidy, 6.75. So they've got themselves what I think is a Justin Verlander issue. And so as I came in today, I thought, well, we're going to talk about Hayden Birdsong. And Birdsong was not great last night. I'll agree with that 100%. But I think that Hayden Birdsong, who's never been in the bullpen before, is a starting pitcher in this league. And essentially he's waiting in the wings to see who isn't going to make it as far as the starting rotation is concerned. Logan Webb obviously is staying in the rotation. Robbie Ray is off to a great start. Jordan Hicks had been good up until his last start. Let's keep an eye on him. I'd rather see him in the bullpen. I've said that a million times, so I don't need to say it again, but I just did. Landon Roop had 20 swings and misses, so if you look at his overall numbers so far, they wouldn't be impressive. And even in that first game against the Phillies, if you looked at box score only, you would say that Landon Roop wasn't that good, but he had 20 swings and misses. And so Landon Roop has been fine in the rotation. Thank you very much. And then that brings us to Verlander. 6.75 ERA, has not gotten through the fifth inning in any of his starts. He's 42 years old. He's an amazing name. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's married to a supermodel. His life is excellent. Nothing he does in San Francisco is going to tarnish his Hall of Fame resume, but everybody, Father Time, undefeated. Don't care if we're talking about Steph Curry, LeBron James, Tom Brady, whoever the case may be. Athletes are having themselves in better shape and elongating their career more than ever and being effective into later dates than they ever have been. So when we talk about the technology that we have and this thing, this device that you have on is telling you that you're tired. No, I'm not tired. Beep, boop, beep, boop. You are tired. You need a rest. Like that's just what's happening. So it's making players effective longer, and it works. And Justin Verlander is one of those freaks. He's a Nolan Ryan. He's got the rubber on. Like, he could snap out of this. There's no question about it. But my major question becomes, and it's too early to do this, but how long do you give Justin Verlander? Because one of the strengths of this team clearly so far has been, look, they've hit the ball. They've hit, especially on the road. They hadn't committed an error on defense. The bullpen had been virtually spotless. They'd gotten enough from their starting rotation. I wouldn't say that it's a hammer starting rotation. I think it does have the potential to be very, 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 very good, but it's not there quite yet. They're still tinkering with some things, but as we look at the rotation right now, and if we just said, okay, if you just had to put them in order right now, 1 through 5 of who's the best and who's to the worst pitcher, very simple. Logan Webb is always going to be number one. Robbie Ray has been the number two starter to this particular point. I would probably put Landon Roop as the third best pitcher. I would put Hicks as the fourth because last time he had a big hiccup, and clearly Verlander's the fifth. Now, if Roop was having these problems and pitched like Verlander and had a 6.75 ERA at this point, Landon Roop does not have the resume clearly of Justin Verlander. and Landon Roop would be out of the rotation and Hayden Birdsong would be in. That would have already happened. But Bob Melvin, they gave him $15 million, which is not a ton, but it does buy you some equity. And so now you look at Justin Verlander and you say, we're going to give him time. But how much time do you give him? Even if he's Justin Verlander, and even if he's earned extra time, and even if he's a Hall of Famer, he hasn't done it here, and you have baseball games to win, and you can't screw around. This isn't Little League. So Justin Verlander has had four starts. What does he get? Six, seven, eight, ten? I mean, basically in a year, you get 30 to 33 starts. So he's not close to any kind of numbers like that. Do you give him a third? Do you give him 10 starts? Give him eight starts. I mean, a lot of it depends too on exactly what he looks like. And there are all these different kind of metrics that tell you how a pitcher is pitching. And maybe there's some bad luck, whatever the case may be. But given, and we talk about this all the time, I hate the term small sample size. It just means that's what we have to go on. So to me, what we have to go on so far is Justin Verlander hasn't been very good. And as I point out on the chalkboard there near the bottom, Verlander issue. How long do the Giants give Justin Verlander? Longer than Landon Roop, longer than Jordan Hicks, but they can't do it forever. And you have a guy in Hayden Birdsong, and I haven't checked the minors lately. It's not what I do, but there's a bunch of guys down there, including Kyle Harrison. So they've got to make a decision at some point, because if they aren't competitive in baseball games with Justin Verlander, then they owe it to the team. And that's the other side of it too, is there's a fine balance and fine line between the team, and the players know it before us. The players know the game a lot better than we do. And so they start looking at it going, wait a minute. There's competition all over the diamond. If I don't play well, I get replaced. And I understand that Justin Verlander is a Hall of Famer, but at some point in the clubhouse, the murmurs start. Like, this guy's going to the mound again? That means we have to be perfect. That means the pen has to be perfect. It means the offense has to score six or eight runs. Like, that, it puts pressure on everybody, and everybody knows, like, this guy's not giving us a chance to win. And I don't care what his name is. After a while, it becomes, there's a better guy right there. And his name's Hayden Birdsong. He's better. Or there's a guy in the minors, one of the Carsons, one of the 900 Carsons they have in the minors. Maybe they're better. At least what you've got to do is you've got to go to Justin Verlander at some point if this continues and say, look, we're going to handle this as delicately as we can. But you've got to strain, my friend. Wink, wink. You got to strain. And then you go work on some stuff. You know, he goes off to the side. He works on some things, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's a mechanical issue. I don't think it's a mental issue, because Justin Verlander is an extremely confident guy. I've talked to him after two starts so far. I've talked to him after both walk-offs, actually. They won those games. The Willy Adames walk-off, he started, didn't pitch well there. And then the Mike Yastrzemski walk-off home run, he pitched that game as well. So they've gotten lucky in his starts to have a couple of walk-offs. Last night clearly wasn't the case, as they lose 6-4, but the offense is having to carry the pitching staff. And we know, as far as the Giants are concerned, especially when they play at Oracle Park, that's not going to be a recipe for a lot of success, that your offense bails out pitching. It just, that happens on occasion, but not very often. So the offense has had to bail Justin Verlander out on a couple of his starts. He doesn't have a win on the season. I'm not panicking on Justin Verlander. All I'm saying is there's a Verlander issue that bears watching right now, because they're going to have to handle this in a very delicate situation. And when they do, and if he continues to pitch this way, they're going to have to go to him. And I know that Buster Posey can do it, and I know that Bob Melvin can do it, because I've handled it before, and just say, look, Justin, we're going to put you on the injured list. You're going to have a strain, and we're going to work on some things on the side, and then we're going to get you back in the rotation. And if it doesn't work at that point, then, you know, it's not like you're putting Justin Verlander in the bullpen. I don't think Justin Verlander is ever going to pitch out of the bullpen. But just because he's a Hall of Famer, and just because his name is Justin Verlander, and just because of who he is, that doesn't mean that you get to just go out there and pitch and pitch and pitch and pitch, and nothing is guaranteed. It's not Little League. You know, everybody's got to play two innings. It's not that way. So he's got to start showing something, or the Giants have to start saying, okay, because they're a team. Like, this is a good baseball team. They're 12-5. They defend. They pitch out of the bullpen well. They do a lot of really good things. And right now, Justin Verlander is 5 of 5 in the rotation. He's number 5 of 5 in the rotation. And if it was Landon Roop, he'd already be out of it. If he was Jordan Hicks, we'd be talking about it. We'd be buzzing about it. If it was Logan Webb, whatever. He's getting 30 starts. I don't care if his ERA is 7. He's getting 30 starts. Now, he might go on the injured list a couple of times to try to work on some things, but that's exactly what's going to happen with Verlander. So that's the latest as far as that goes. I'll get to the Niners in just a second, the latest on, because today is the last day that players can visit, but I think I have a couple other things in regards to the, is that it? Oh, no. I have a video for you. So we've talked so much about how Lamont Wade Jr. is struggling, and Casey Schmidt played well at first base yesterday, got a hit, a couple of RBIs, and is a really good defensive first base. He's a really good defensive player no matter where they put him. But remember this guy, his name's Bryce Eldridge. You might have heard of him. Top Giants prospect. This is a long way from Oracle Park, but yesterday swings for the first time, and he could be going to AAA pretty soon. But if you're missing Bryce Eldridge, there he is in Arizona rehabbing. There you go. See, just wanted to show him to you. So he is alive. He is well. He is working on some rehab stuff in Arizona and should be going to lovely Sacramento very soon. So we'll see what Bryce Eldridge, because I had forgotten about him, but I was like, okay, where's he at? What's going on? And so he should be back soon. And that is your latest as far as the Giants are concerned. Before I flip over to the NFL and give you a couple of things. Hi, John Joseph. Good to see you. Daniel S., your Kings are playing tonight. And I know you are disgruntled with them, but I'm sure you'll be watching. Hello, Aaron. It is nice to see you, my friend. Christian, good morning. Is that the real Ogden? Is this the real Ogden right here? Wow, look at that, man. What time are you guys on, dude? I know that Tommy's on this afternoon, early this afternoon, and I know Pauly Mack is on at 11 o'clock. It's the real Daniel Ogden, everybody. Tolbert's producer and fine producer for both KMBR and 95.7 when I was there, and he produced our show for a long time. Oh, there it is. He already told us. But, scratch that. I found it. We're on around 12:15. Depends on when Tom finishes his walk with Lou. Okay, there you go. 12:15 for Tommy. So again, Bay Area Sports Collective. Please make sure, in addition to the John Lund Unleashed show, which is on at 8 a.m. Monday through Friday, or 8 a.m.-ish, and then Pauly Mack comes on, and Pauly Mack's Particles with Creative Tony. That's on at 11 o'clock on the Bay Area Sports Collective. So Tommy at around 12:15, according to Ogden. And that's a very good source. Ogden, who produces Tom's show. That's a good source, I would say. Hi, Mary. Good to see you, my friend. Very nice to see you. I think I just saw... You have perfect timing, my good friends at East Coast Red and Gold Podcast, East Coast 49ers fans, because let's hit up some 49ers stuff. So today is the last day that you can get visits from players. So a couple of different things, a couple of different reports today. As Field Yates says, Josh Simmons from Ohio State, the Ohio State University, is visiting with the 49ers. I don't think they would take him at number 11 coming off an injury. If they traded back, Josh Simmons would be a guy. He could play tackle, he could play guard. Could he take over for Trent Williams? If you're going to take a tackle, you've got to be confident that this year maybe he could play right tackle. You move Colt McKivitz over to left guard to take over for Aaron Banks. And then Simmons, after Williams is gone, could be that left tackle. I think 11 is too early. What the hell do I know? But he's in town visiting with the Niners. And then this guy's a really interesting guy, as Ian Rappaport puts out, James Pierce visiting with the 49ers and Will Johnson visiting with the Seahawks. Will Johnson's a guy that's been talked about with the Niners as well, if he was on the board. Pierce is an interesting guy. I don't know. I think 11 is too early for him. If you ever watch any Tennessee, go back and watch. He wears number 27, kind of an odd number for an edge guy. He's really, really effective. It's just he's incredibly thin, probably needs to put on 20 pounds. To be in the scheme, and I think he could come in right away and be a third down specialist. I would have no issue with that, but I think he's way too thin to set an edge for the 49ers, and it's great that you can get to the quarterback, but one of the reasons why Leonard Floyd is no longer a 49er and Pierce is kind of built like Leonard Floyd a little bit, and everybody's like, how could they let Leonard Floyd go? He had 8.5 sacks. Yeah, he played 600 other snaps last year for the Niners, and he was atrocious, and he can't set an edge. And so that's a major problem. He's just not big enough to do it. And Pierce is kind of a similar bodied player. So if he could get 20 pounds on him, I like James Pierce. I think he's more of a second-round pick than a first-round pick. I don't think he's a number 11 kind of a guy. So that's the two guys that are in town today. This is kind of interesting. I meant to hit this with you a couple of different times. So this is our guy, our good friends at SF Data Niners. And they talked about the reaches for the 49ers, and they're known to do that. Let me see if I can go back here before I get to that. So this was a couple of weeks ago, and it says these are the guys that they reached the most on during the John and Kyle days. Ty Davis Price, C.J. Beathard, Jake Mooney, Cam Latu, Jalen Hurd. Those are some of the worst picks they've ever had, obviously. And, you know, Moody's Moody, whatever. So you go up here and they do this whole deal on these guys that they reached for. And look at this. Like, stop reaching. Mitch Wishnowsky, I'm not a big draft the punter guy, but Ty Davis Price, Joe Williams, Sam Womack, Trey, Beathard, Banks, Moody, School, Marcel Harris, who was a safety turned into linebacker, Hurd, it was just injuries. Pettis, obviously a bust. Latu, third round, bust. Warner was okay. Renardo Green looks like he's got a future. Don't know about Ricky Pearsall. Dre Greenlaw was great. Julian Taylor, you know, whatever. Seventh rounder, Zakel and P2T. So a lot of these guys that they reached for absolutely bombed. I mean, look at Ty Davis Price, Joe Williams, Womack, Lance, Beathard, that whole group right there, just brutal. So I guess what I would say is that you're going to reach, you're going to have your board, you're going to have things go your way. And you know, when guys kind of bounce where they're supposed to bounce, then that's fine. The only guy on that list that you say, well, that quite wasn't a reach, is Dre Greenlaw, obviously. Renardo Green, too. He's pretty good. Don't know what Ricky Pearsall is going to be, but some of these guys in this list, I mean, between Pettis, Latu, Hurd, School was a late rounder. I'm not ripping on him, but Beathard, Lance, Womack, Williams, Ty Davis Price. My God, man. I don't know. You might want to look at some strategy here. So anyway, that's the latest as far as the 49ers go. Give me your thoughts on that as we approach the draft 8 days away. And we will have draft coverage right here. Not only will I be doing it, but Bay Area Sports Collective. And then something happened yesterday that went viral. It was interesting. And it was a very innocent tweet on my part. And I think it was taken the wrong way. But I put this out yesterday after the show. Says and I said, ESPN wasting no time in making Peter Schrager come up with a stupid list. Sports media guys and former athletes sell every ounce of their souls for Disney's money. Pray for inside the NBA. And then Peter Schrager hit me and said, all due respect. It was very nice what he wrote back. He said, but what's wrong with the list? And then a bunch of people, as you can see right there, was 190,000 impressions by this morning. It wasn't about Peter Schrager's list. And it's not that Peter Schrager is not a super talented guy. In fact, it was a compliment to him is what the tweet was. It looks like you're going to ruin Peter Schrager and make him into a screaming A because it's usually Steven's A-list. And I don't want him to become screaming A. I don't want him to become Kendrick Perkins. What he's really good at, Peter Schrager, is relationships with people within the league. And he's a great insider and he's a great reporter. And I don't see ESPN making Adam Schefter come up with Adam's A-list or anything like that. I don't want him to be part of a cog in the machine. And that's what I don't want for inside the NBA. So when I saw that yesterday, that he's already doing a list his first day on the job, I'm going, oh my God. And I know on the morning show that he was on in the NFL Network, Good Morning Football, that they did all sorts of bits and everything. And I get it. It's low-hanging fruit all the time. We have to hit ourselves over the head with a hammer. We are a society that in social media, if it's more than 140 characters, our minds blow up and we can't read and we can't, you know, do all these things. It has to be put right on a plate for us, the center cut filet, and we don't want any fat. We don't want it. Just deliver it to us what we want, when we want, how we want. That's what social media has done to us, whether it's Instagram or Twitter or any of these kind of things. So it's got to be quick, concise, and to the point. And it's got to be dumbed down. And Peter Schrager is a really, really talented guy, really funny, great personality, has tons of insight into the league. And my point was not about his list. That's irrelevant. The point is that everybody, and you know this term because I've used it a ton of times on the show because I worked for ESPN for years, they ESPNize everything. So they send out, I told you this, they send out emails every day. This is what the research shows, research, research. This is what we should be talking about. It's a really tight rotation. I understand what they do, and I understand why they do it. And it's very simplified, and it's a business, and it's about money, and I understand that. But I don't want Peter Schrager to become screaming A. I don't want him to have to come up with dumb opinions. I don't want him to have to be outrageous to get clicks. I don't want him on the morning shows. Do you see guys who work for ESPN at a really high level ever on the stupid shows during the day, during the screaming debate shows? They don't do it. It's Kendrick Perkins, and it's screaming A. Is Bob Myers on those shows ever? No, he's not. Is Joe Buck on those shows ever? Nope. Is Troy Aikman on those shows ever? No. Is anybody with any ounce of credibility, is Reese Davis on those shows? Is Kirk Herbstreit on those shows? Rarely. Rarely. And if they are, then it's like on the Greenberg show, which, again, still is borderline as far as that stuff goes. And I could see Peter Schrager, because he had success in the morning, being on the Greenberg show, the Get Up show sometimes. But I'm talking about like being on First Take and all these shows where it's like screaming, yelling, you take this side, I'll take that side kind of a thing. I just don't want to see this guy who's talented do that. And so when I see Peter A's list, it's like screaming A's list. And I'm thinking to myself, they're going to make him that, when his strength is relationships and being kind of a more personable Adam Schefter and giving us insight. Because later on in the day, he was on with Pat McAfee, or earlier in the day, whatever it was. He was doing the car wash yesterday at ESPN. And he did what he does, which is he's giving insight, draft insight, team insight. I heard this, I heard that, in a very personable and entertaining way. That's what he does. That's what he's good at. He's entertaining. So when I see him have to come up with a list, that's the low-hanging fruit that ESPN tells you you got to do. And I'm not trying to ruin the guy's first day on the job, because congratulations to him for landing a big deal at ESPN. It's just, I don't want him to become a cog in the machine and a talking head. And when I saw that, I thought to myself, as I put in the tweet, ESPN wasted no time in making Peter Schrager come up with a stupid list. It wasn't the list. And I guess I emphasized the stupid list. It was a cog in the machine of ESPN and having to make up a list, regardless if it was good or not. And I said, sports media guys and former athletes sell every ounce of their soul for Disney's money. Disney obviously owns ESPN. Pray for Inside the NBA. I don't want Charles Barkley making lists. I don't want Kenny Smith being on with Screamin' A. I don't want Screamin' A being on with the Inside the NBA. I don't want Kendrick Perkins and Charles Barkley on the same set, even though ESPN is going to be salivating for that. I hope against hope that Charles Barkley has it in his contract and the rest of those guys, this is the show. You can't mess with it. You can't bring in Screamin' A. You can't bring in Kendrick Perkins. You can't, not going to do it. Not going to do it. And so that was my point of it. It's not the list, the top five NFL draft wild cards. That's fine, whatever. If that's what you want to do, again, you got to break it down into bite-sized pieces for us now. You got to make it really, really simple. Here comes the choo-choo train. You know, you can't have a conversation about it. It's got to be a list or a Mount Rushmore or a GOAT. Or, that's every conversation. And it's got to be either LeBron or Dak, or, you know, it's just got to be this short rotation. And it's got to be, let me see, I'm going to get him off the board too. It's got to be this short rotation. It's got to be a list. It's got to be a Mount Rushmore. It's got to be you got to make it really, really simple for the people. Because if you don't, because everyone's used to Instagram and social media and Twitter and X and all these different things, because it's just got to be really specialized down. And you just got to feed it to them really simple. Let's cut the steak into really small pieces so that people can consume it, because they can't consume it any other way nowadays. That's what pisses me off about it. It's not that. It's just that ESPN says, you know what's an easy way to cut this steak into little pieces for little Jimmy? Is a list. And it's what's wrong with everything, because it's just been so dumbed down. And he's a really good, really talented guy. And I just hope they don't ESPN-ize him, because I've seen it happen again and again and again and again. And that's why I wrote what I wrote. It's not the list. Has nothing to do with the list. It's irrelevant. Great. I'm sure it's a wonderful list. But what all the reactions were that were defending Peter Schrager on a national level was, it's a fine list, Peter. It's a fine list. It wasn't the list. It's being ESPN-ized. And I hope that he's not ESPN-ized. And I hope that Charles Barkley and Inside the NBA is not ESPN-ized. The one thing that is in the favor is Pat McAfee, like him, hate him, whatever. He's not a cog in the machine of ESPN. He's going to do the show he's going to do. He made it very, very clear. I don't know how long that relationship is going to last, but ESPN wants you to fall in line. What happens in the pecking order of ESPN is there's some guys that are really high up on the board. There's your Kirk Herbstreets of the world, your Joe Bucks, your Troy Aikmans, like the guys who are really up high. And then there's a lower class of grinders and workers who are there for a short period of time, and then they just burn out on ESPN. And then there's a bit of a middle class. And, you know, Screamin' A's at the top and all that kind of stuff. And then there's just a bit of a middle class, and they kind of make you do everything. Everybody's on everything, and you're on the morning shows and all the different things. I want them to have him do what he does best. And I just hope he doesn't fall into having to be on all those morning and day shows where they scream and yell and everybody has a fake opinion. And, you know, like one of the Morris brothers now is on their NBA stuff, and he is Kendrick Perkins Jr. And it's clear that they're just saying, say this, say that, say this, say that. And he just says the craziest things ever. He said the Grizzlies are going to beat the Warriors yesterday. His reasoning was so stupid. Screaming Yay yesterday said Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Suns, is fast becoming the worst owner in the NBA. Really? Do you know the guy that he replaced, Robert Sarver, and how bad of a guy he is? What are you talking about? Like, it's just, it's so, it's all preconceived crap. It's microwave dinners, you know? I mean, that's what it is. And there's no depth or anything like that. And it's just day after day. And we all want to get clicks in this business. And we all know what it's about. And we all sell our soul to the devil to a certain extent. But I just, yesterday I looked at that thing and I'm like, damn, they're starting with lists on daytime shows. Is he going to turn into that? Because Schefter doesn't have to do that. And they're, you know, they're insiders. They're guys that they respect. They don't have to do that. Troy Aikman doesn't have to come up with a list. Joe Buck doesn't have to come up with a list. Like, they just, they don't have to do it. So I saw that and I thought to myself, because you and I have had this conversation before, ESPN, Inside the NBA is going over there. And I'm just thinking to myself, it is a, whether you like it or not, whatever. It's entertaining. It's funny. It's good. They don't know, you know, a lot of times they're not watching the game. They don't know who's coaching who, Shaq. And they can, you know, they don't know who a lot of players are on the same. Like, I don't care about that. I'm just looking for the entertainment value of it. And they don't have, Charles Barkley doesn't have to make lists, and neither does Shaq and neither does Kenny. They don't have to make lists. They don't. The show's good enough on its own. It has been procured through time that it's a really good and entertaining show. And they don't need a list. And they don't need low-hanging fruit. And they don't, you know, they may be sophomoric at times, and I am too, man. It's fun. I get it. But they don't need a list. They don't need bite-sized pieces. They don't need to break it down. They don't, they know it. And so I think they're smart enough, or their agents are smart enough, and I'm sure that certainly Charles Barkley has conveyed this to his agent and conveyed this, and one of the reasons he signed with the Evil Mouse was that I'm sure he told them, look, we're going to be more like Pat McAfee. We will be on ESPN, but we will not be cogs in the machine. Are they going to put Charles Barkley in all the morning shows and have him say outrageous things? Now, he says outrageous things on his own, but I doubt that Charles Barkley is going to be a regular on, you know, Stephen A. Smith's show on First Take. Like, could you see Barkley on First Take every day? I'd just be like, oh, so sad. I mean, that would be sad to me. So anyway, there's my rant. What else do we have? Oh, we have a great Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol for you. So here's where we are in the chalkboard. Thanks for joining us on episode 117. The latest, that was ESPN Schrager, where we had the viral thing, and he asked me, what's wrong with my list? And I'm like, it's not the list itself. It's becoming ESPNized. That's the issue I have, because I worked for him for years, and I know. ESPN, so we get into that. Episode 117, Warriors are the seventh seed. 121-116 over Memphis. Play in, which is now to be play off. Jimmy had 38. Morant hurt in the third, 82-81. How would that have changed things had he not been hurt? He did. He was hurt. It was the best thing that Buddy Hield did all night, was have his foot stepped on. I thought that they had it at 55-35 when Steph had the four-point play, the three-pointer in the corner on amazing motion, and I thought the game was going to be over. No JK, and I don't expect him to be in the series. Rockets Sunday, they got a free look on April 6th, 106-96. They lose, but a free look that I think is going to come in handy. Thank you very much. There is a Justin Verlander issue that bears watching with the Giants that we got into. Draft visits. Josh Simmons, Ohio State offensive lineman. James Pierce, edge rusher, Tennessee. The last couple in today's the last day for that. ESPN Schrager, I just got done talking about that. Do I have anything else to get across you before we do the Sweet Clean family-friendly Caboose Pistol? I'll let, one other quick thing. I'm sorry to bitch and moan about all this. This cracks me up. I'm not saying I would take Travis Hunter off my board, but I would certainly be very weary of Travis Hunter. I'm sure he's a nice kid. He's an elite football player, but a kid is not going to come in who's accomplished nothing in this league and tell me how I'm going to run my team. Travis Hunter says he won't play football at all if an NFL team tries to limit him to just one side of the ball. How about this, young man? You haven't proven shit in the NFL. You're nothing. It doesn't matter. There's been more hype players than you fall flat on their face. You're an incredibly talented kid. But if I was a general manager for a football team, and I had my first meeting, or a coach with a football team, and I had my first meeting with Travis Hunter, I'd say, first of all, we are really glad to have you, young man. We're excited. There's a reason why we drafted you. We're very excited. Having said that, after all the pleasantries and all the niceties, which you always get on your first day of your job, right? You know, it's everybody loves you, and they roll out the red carpet, and everybody's really nice. I remember when I started doing mornings in Detroit, the first day, and it was 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, we went on the air 6 to 10. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, the first Monday that we did the show, they literally had a carpet from the bullpen area where you sat and you prepped the show to the actual studio itself, there was a red carpet rolled out, and there were donuts and coffee, and salespeople were there at 5 o'clock in the morning, and the program director was there, and it was this big party. I walked in, I was like, oh my God, should have showered for this. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, and they rolled the red carpet out, donuts, bagels, coffee, streamers, sales staff, program director, general manager, at like 5 in the morning. I'm like, this is the greatest place I've ever worked in my life. Guess what happened on day two? Nothing. No one. No donuts, no coffee, no nothing. That was it. Well, that's what Travis Hunter is going to get. Oh, man, we drafted you. You're the greatest. This, that, the other. They fly you in, take a bunch of pictures. Everybody's smiling. They're holding up the jersey with the number one on it. Day number two, coach takes him in the office, says, look, man, that shit you were saying about you're not going to play if you're not playing on both sides of the ball, we're going to dictate where you play, how much you play. And this is the NFL, son. You played a bunch of games. You played every snap at Colorado. There is no Iowa State. There is no Central Missouri. There is no, you know, whatever the team is. No offense to Brock Purdy's alma mater. It was just the first name that came to mind. We'll play you as we see fit. What's Travis Hunter, 182 pounds? Look, maybe I'm 100% wrong. I don't know. I don't think he's Otani. I mean, it's so rare to think you're going to play in the NFL, the most physical sport on earth, with some of the best athletes on earth, and you weigh 182 pounds, and you're going to get your butt handed to you left and right, and neither of those positions are easy to play, and you think you're going to master both of those positions. A lot of teams are, you know, like Cleveland, for example, they need offensive weapons. They're saying they're going to put him on offense. A lot of teams, I think he's a corner who could occasionally play offensively. Like maybe we're in a three or four, maybe we're in a four wide receiver set. And until you can prove otherwise, you know, we'll see. But we'll see what your skill set is. But we don't even know what your skill set is. We don't even know. Like, it's hard to master one side of the ball. It's hard to master being a great corner. How about you try that? And then if you can master that, like he said, he's going to be the next Charles Woodson. All right. Well, Charles Woodson played corner and a little bit. And Charles Woodson was a better football player than Travis Hunter is. And Charles Woodson didn't play two ways. I mean, look at all the different guys. Deion Sanders, your coach at Colorado, better football player than you, Travis Hunter. And he played corner and occasionally played wide receiver. And he says he ran a sub 4.240, whatever. The guy was an amazing football player. Didn't play two ways. They don't do it in the league. Now, if you can do it, especially at 182 pounds, good for you. But this isn't Pop Warner. This isn't high school, and it's not college. It's the NFL. And we'll decide where and when you play. Thank you very much. That after day one, after they roll out the red carpet and there's bagels and coffee and donuts and red carpets and everybody's in there and everybody's smiling and they're holding up the jersey, that's great. Day two, we'll decide when and where you play. Thank you very much. I'm not going to play. Like, I'm telling you, if I'm Cleveland at number two, if I'm the Giants at number three, if I'm New England at number four, and he's going to go to one of those teams, I'm looking at myself going, is this kid going to be a problem? Like, if I'm Robert Kraft and I own the Patriots, I don't think he's going to make it to four. But if I'm Robert Kraft and I own the Patriots, or I'm Jimmy Haslam and I own the Browns, you know, whatever. I'm going down to my personnel department before the draft next Thursday. I'm probably doing it today and saying, is this kid going to be a pain in the ass? Is this kid going to be a problem? Is this kid going to demand playing two ways when we'll decide if he's a corner, a wide receiver, either, neither, both? He might be a kick and punt return guy right away. I don't know what he's going to be, but he's got to earn it. But I don't want to hear some guy telling me how he's going to play and how much he's going to play, because I'm the head coach of this team. You know, I don't know. You can do it in college. Guys have done it. But, you know, there's a reason why we hype Otani the way that we hype Otani, because it's like what he is doing is ridiculous. And right now he's only a hitter. He's only a DH. He's supposedly going to pitch again, but I've seen him do it before. He's a unicorn. And if you're going to play both ways in the league, let's just go back. Like I said, Deion Sanders, an amazing athlete, didn't play two ways. Charles Woodson, amazing, didn't play two ways. Travis Hunter is a really unique player, and he's really, really good. But if I'm running a football team, I'm making a decision. And it's probably corner. And that's what everybody seems to think, is he's going to be a corner, and then occasionally I'll put you in offensively. That's what it's going to be. You're going to be a gadget player offensively, and you're going to be a corner. That's the way I'm going to look at it. Or a lot of people have said Cleveland would play him as a receiver. Okay, you're going to be a receiver, and you might be my fourth corner. Maybe you'll be my third corner. But you're not playing, Now, again, I just on this for the sake of conversation, there's about 120 snaps in a football game, 60 on both sides of the ball, a little more, a little less, whatever. Roughly speaking, there's 120 snaps. You're not playing 120 snaps, dude, over 17 games in the highest league there is in football, and you think that you're going to play throughout an entire season at 182 pounds. This is not happening. And you're not telling me how much you're going to play, or I'm not going to play. It's like, if you're his agent, you're like, dude, shut it. We're 8 days before the draft. Don't say stupid stuff. Because going from 2 to 6, as far as the draft is concerned, you're losing money every time you're not picked. And I'll tell you right now, if I'm Cleveland, if I'm the Giants, if I'm the Patriots, but Jacksonville's at number 5, he's not going to make it past there. But you drop 2 spots, you just cost yourself a few million bucks, kid. So good luck, and don't tell me I'm going to run my football team. That's all I'm saying. All right, Sweet Cream Family Friendly Caboose Pistol is an all-timer today, and I don't think I'm overselling this. I can use this all under that. Let me make sure I have that video before. Yep, I have it. All right, let's do this. Sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol time. Amazing Caboose Pistol today, and I do not think, I hope I'm not overselling it, but I do not think I'm overselling it. So this is how we end every show, Caboose Pistol time.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
Yo, Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose
Pistol? I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
I do not know a woman who could fit a machine gun in there myself. A couple of things before I get to the grand finale. Never seen a bill like this. It's not mine. I just saw this and thought it was funny. And they should do more of this. I would probably get charged $5 based on today's show. A bitching fee of $5. So Miller Lite, Miller Night, Miller Lite, Curry Brews. Looks like a pepperoni. Is that a pizza? It just says pepperoni. Is that 95 cents? Yeah, just probably a stick of pepperoni. Looks like he's in like a cheap bar or something, dive bar. That's fine. Anyway, bitching fee of $5. That'd be nice. Just put a bitching fee on there. Although I doubt you could get away with it. I just think a lot of people would be like, really? You gave me a $5 bitching fee? After 3 Miller Lights, too, shouldn't you be a little bit relaxed? I don't know. A little weird. But anyway, never seen a bitching fee before. We often talk about this in more of a lunch or a dinner sense. But if let's say you're in a restaurant. I'm gonna quiz you before I show you this. And this is not the grand finale Caboose. We'll do it in a second. If you're in a restaurant, because I know, I'll give you an example. So If my dad is now passed, but if we were ever in a lunch spot and it was a new lunch spot and we didn't really know what to order, and I'm talking about just basic, your bar food, right? Your burgers, your fries, your salads, your chicken fingers, whatever you want to call them, chicken tenders. You know, you're in a joint like that, right? They got food like that. And if there was a French dip on the menu, so, you know, just basically a roast beef sandwich that you could dip in the au jus, my dad would always say that you could, that it's real simple, and burgers is kind of the same way, but my dad would always order a French dip if he didn't know what to get in a restaurant that he had never been to. So that's the kind of vibe I'm looking at here. So let me quiz you on this. If you're in a breakfast joint and you don't know what to order, what would be a fallback for you? What would be, I'm going to quiz you real quick, because I think I know the answer and maybe I'm wrong in this, but let's say you're looking at a breakfast menu. You've never been at the place and they've got all your basics, right? Nothing fancy. You know, they got pancakes, they got eggs and bacon. They got, you know, you're out here. So what would be okay, if this is on the menu, I'm going to order it from a breakfast standpoint. All right. Rudy Gerber is a French dip fry man with the French dip. That's true. Let's see. Hi, Nathan. By the way, it was great to have Nathan in the post game last night. Oh, there's early. It was great to have Nathan in the post game last night. We were having a really good time. Oh my God, Christopher, you are so smart. You're the smartest man alive. Omelet is a good choice. This is what I was going for. It doesn't mean there's any wrong answers, but this is what I was going for. You nailed it right on the head. Now, again, I could be wrong, and you could just go with your basic eggs and bacon. That would have been a good choice. Any kind of omelet, you're right. Probably a ham and cheese omelet, right? Pretty hard to screw up. That's a pretty basic one. But yeah, if I see eggs Benedict, that's me, and I could be 100% wrong. You know, some people go with pancakes. I'm not a pancake guy, really, or French toast guy or waffle guy. But Eggs Benedict is what I was going for. And like I said, no wrong answers here, but generally speaking, Eggs Benedict. So that's just me. If I'm in a place and I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's a basic menu. What is really hard to screw up? And I guess they could screw up the Hollandaise sauce or something like that. But generally speaking, I would say, okay, there's an Eggs Benedict there. I'll go with it. You know, that's a pretty safe choice, right? So today is National Eggs Benedict Day. Doesn't that look tasty? And I feel like I need to go out and have an Eggs Benedict. Today's April 16th, right? National Eggs Benedict Day. And what you're talking about there is just a, you know, and there's also, there's tons of versions of it. So you got an egg, or you got a English muffin down there. You got a piece of, you know, nice piece of ham or Canadian bacon. Throw a an egg on top of there, which is obviously a, you know, a poached egg on top of there. A little bit of hollandaise, and then they got whatever on the top of that whole thing. And then there you go. And then you usually get a couple of those within an order. Now, you can go with a, like a crab version of that, which is outstanding. You could go with like a turkey and avocado version of that, which is nice. Some people will do like a corned beef hash type of a Benedict where they do the hash underneath. They put the poached egg on the top. There's all sorts of versions of it. If you're trying to be keto, like my wife constantly is, instead of the English muffin, you're going with tomato on the bottom of that. But anyway, today is National Eggs Benedict Day. And at least for me, when I'm in a restaurant and I, for a first time, and I don't know what to order, and here comes the server, you know, the server comes up really fast and you haven't had a real full chance to look at the menu, but everybody else is ready to order. And you're like, I'll have the Eggs Benedict. Like, that's just what comes out. Now, some people, like I said, would go, I'll go eggs and bacon. I'll go pancakes. But my fallback would be like, I walk into a restaurant for the first time and we're doing breakfast or brunch and I haven't had enough time, but I know that everybody else is ready to order, my fallback will just be, I'll just do Eggs Benedict. And generally speaking, unless you screw up the holidays, like a poached egg is not hard to do. Ham or Canadian bacon, an English muffin. So I guess people could screw up the holidays, like, a, you know, whatever. But generally speaking, if you're, if you really trust the place, you could do like a Dungeness crab one, which like in New Orleans or something, if you do a Eggs Benedict, but a Dungeness crab instead of the ham, get out of town. That's what I would go with. But again, you're not going to do that in a restaurant you've never been in because it'll screw it up. All right. So we did bitching fee for random or for, excuse me, for Caboose. We did Eggs Benedict Day, which is today. So go have yourself an Eggs Benedict. But this is really the one that I was going to for the grand finale on today's show. Today's grand finale, Caboose Pistol. I think this is out of Florida. And this is the guy's real last name, at least according to this news report.
Out of Brevard County, a man is facing charges after threatening employees at a Subway with a knife. Deputies say that the suspect, Edward Cocaine, and yes, that is his name, got into an argument with the employees over their, quote, bad attitudes. That's when Cocaine started yelling, then let himself behind the counter, pushing one of the workers. Deputies say that he then pulled out a knife. One of the suspect's friends intervened, and they eventually left the restaurant. Cocaine was later arrested for several charges, including aggravated assaults.
Cocaine was later arrested. I don't know. That's outstanding. One of the best ones of all time. I got played again.
A man is facing charges after threatening employees at a Subway with a knife. Deputies say that the suspect, Edward Cocaine, and yes, that is his name, got into an argument with the employees over their, quote, bad attitudes. That's when Cocaine started yelling, then let himself behind the counter, pushing one of the workers. Deputies say that he then pulled out a knife. One of the suspect's friends intervened, and they eventually left the restaurant. Cocaine was later.
I just want to intervene for just a second here. If a guy's last name was Cocaine, Edward Cocaine in this case, wouldn't that guy, he just looks like his name is Cocaine. I don't know. There are certain people like, your last name is not Cocaine, and I still don't believe that his name is Edward Cocaine, but if someone's name was Edward Cocaine, that would be what I would imagine Edward Cocaine would look like. Maybe that's just ironic, but anyway, there you go. I like when they say Cocaine was arrested, all that kind of stuff. His name is Edward Cocaine. Could you imagine being saddled with the name Cocaine as your last name? Mr. Cocaine? Like, anyway, table for four for Cocaine, and people would look at you and laugh. Like, what an idiot. Just said Cocaine. Hey, come on, man. Like, you know, stay away from Cocaine. Cocaine was arrested. Like, there'd be all sorts of issues with Cocaine. And sir, your last name, Cocaine. No, seriously. Cocaine. No, come on, sir. How do you spell it? Mr. Cocaine. Like, oh my God. Publicly? Yeah. Unfortunate. Probably would change it, I would think. Anyway, true story. And I guess that's the guy's name, Edward Cocaine. And that is today's sweet, clean, family friendly Caboose Pistol. And that is a Wednesday edition of the show. Did I oversell that? I don't think I did, man. Shout out Eric Clapton. Exactly. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. Edward Cocaine. There you go. Edward Cocaine. Yeah. Cocaine always ruins the party. You know, Edward Cocaine, he always ruins the party, man. So anyway, I don't know that that's a legit name either. I'm not so sure, but there you go. Yeah, California style. Isn't that California style Eggs Benedict? Isn't that? Oh, that's bacon, spinach, tomato. Oh, okay. I think that the turkey and avocado was for some reason. But anyway, there you go. Eggs Florentine. That's a solid pick, Frank. Solid pick. Yeah, that's very good. You can't go wrong with that. All right. Very good. All right, everybody have a tremendous day. Let me make sure that I hit all the starred. Todd, I owe you one too, because like you said, I'll go back and I'll try to think more about this, that I figured out what you're all about. It's just all love. I'm not sure. But and can you have your wife say fresh pot and call your son? I'll make sure that I get those things done. I owe you. I will not forget. Thank you so much for the supers today. Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. Please remember, hit the like button. It's really, really important. So before you get out of here, please hit the like button. Much, much, much appreciated. Make sure you're subscribed to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, as well as the Bay Area Sports Collective. Polly Mack coming on at 11 o'clock. 12:15 is Tom Tolbert. We have an official announcement of a new show coming up as well. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. Thanks for watching on X today. You can always put your comments down below the show or on X at John Lund Radio. LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks for watching as well. Everybody have a tremendous Wednesday. And unless news breaks, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!